This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 206 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, September 2nd, 2015. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined back by popular demand, Marcus Couch.
Welcome back, Jeff. Sir. Thank you so much. Nice to be back at a reasonable recording hour, and we've got a lot of stories to discuss. No guest in this week's show. It's just you and I shooting the breeze and talking WordPress.
You got that right. So, first of all, I want to say that we've had a lot of great comments and feedback from the last week's show with Miriam Schwab, where we talked about her career in WordPress and her consulting firm, Illuminia, and generally what life is like over there in Israel. And I had a blast with her, had a great time, learned some things I never would have otherwise. And I'm just thankful that she was able to come on the show and we were able to talk about that stuff. And I'm glad some of the listeners out there appreciate it and got some value out of it.
Yes, Jeff, that was a great show, despite me not being in it. But I learned a lot about the Israeli scene in terms of WordPress, their usage, and just exactly what kind of development community they have out there, which is pretty respectable. So kudos to you and holding down the fort in my absence, and good job on a really great show.
And let's see, before we dive into this week's stories, I do want to share an email we received a few weeks back. Mm-hmm. And it's her name is Carol Baskin, and she writes, "Hi Jeff and Marcus, I love your show. If you're ever coming down to work, if you're coming down to WordCamp Tampa, make sure to save some time to come see the Big Cat Rescue." And she also says that she's a workaholic, and she always has this mission for caring for big cats and ending the trade ahead of family. And so she says she has no useful advice. This is about our show that we did about work life and balance.
Right.
And she says that it's all easier said than done. She's had 4.5 husbands. I'm not sure where the half comes from, to prove it. And she's finally the one who gets it and other things of that nature. She gives us a couple of pats on the back. She also says that she wishes she had a great suggestion on how to monetize our work so that our families would see the value in it. But all she has to offer is a pretty cool vacation experience for us and them, meaning our families, Marcus, if we ever go down there. So thank you very much, Carol, for sending us the email and for the invitation, where if we ever go down to Tampa, Florida, somehow, some way, we will we'll have to make a visit to the Big Cat Rescue.
Yes, and Carol does a very nice job on her website, and she does a lot of social media stuff as well. And it was very intriguing to see all those huge cats. I mean, we're not talking about house cats here. We're talking, you know, the big boys, the lion tiger families. And I'm not going to try and cop to some species because I'd embarrass myself in front of Carol. But these are some serious cats with some serious cages. And it's great, the work that she's doing to help to rehabilitate them and, you know, protect them. It's really admirable work.
And basically what she was saying is that she spends so much time working for and to fulfill that mission of rescuing big cats and working with them, that she pretty much puts the cats above and beyond in that mission over everything else. So I know how you feel.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. Yep. Well, we appreciate your comments, Carol, and keep them coming.
So with that said, I guess we'll launch right into our first story. And that is there's some big changes over in Envato, specifically with ThemeForest and CodeCanyon. Now, back in August of last year, Envato announced a new initiative that would allow sellers on both CodeCanyon and ThemeForest to inform buyers whether or not an item is supported, whether they provide technical support for whether it's a theme or a template or what have you. Well, earlier the other day, Envato actually implemented a item support policy for sellers on ThemeForest and CodeCanyon. Now, this affects sellers, but it also affects buyers as well. So when you visit theme forest or Code Canyon, and you see a blue badge, it actually indicates whether the seller provides support for that item or not, and vice versa. There's also a badge and text that informs potential buyers if an item is not supported. So basically, what this item support policy boils down to is before this policy was put into place, offering support was sort of at the discretion of the author, of the seller. They did not have to provide support if they didn't want to. There was no guarantee of it. And some other authors were providing levels of support. You know, it might have been lifetime or lifetime of the product or maybe for a few months. And there was various ways in which they were providing the support. So this item support policy is trying to set the definitive sort of a standard across the board as to what to expect and sort of get the same sort of experience between all of the items that offer this type of support. So for all items that are supported, you will receive 6 months of free support, which is bundled into the price. You don't have to pay extra for that. However, there is a what they call a support extension that allows you at the time of purchase or even afterwards, you could buy this an extra 6 months of support to tack onto that, along with the regular license of the item. Envato will actually take 30% of that, and 70% of that support extension price will go to the author. And actually, quite a few authors are not too excited about what's going on here. And in fact, some of the buyers as well are not too happy with this process either, because if you're a buyer who purchased an item from an author that said they will provide lifetime support or unlimited support or something of that nature, well, now that automatically becomes 6 months instead of lifetime. So buyers are not too happy with that because it's like going back on their word, and authors really sort of have no say so in this whatsoever.
How do they regulate that? How do they monitor?
Monitor what? As far as
who's getting support and who's not? Are you talking about support just in terms of updates?
So what they've done is they've actually branched or separated support into more like a service. That's how Envato is able to take their cut of it. And updates apparently are not part of the support plan. They're sort of separate. You still get updates whether you have a support extension or not. There's some confusing aspects to all this. I mean, it's very detailed in terms of what's offered in the support, what's expected of you as an author, and there's some advice given to the seller. But definitely, I encourage everyone out there, if you're interested in this, to know what's going on, to look at the post in the show notes on the Tavern, but also look at the forum threads and the post on Envato and their announcement. Of course, this is a work in progress, so I imagine they're going to be changing things as necessary, but it's definitely a considerable change from not knowing what kind of support you're going to get to knowing you're at least going to get 6 months and you have the option to pay for more if you need it.
So yeah, I don't know. That seems like it's a futile policy. I mean, I base a lot of my purchases based on the support that I see that they're providing. And frankly, I don't know if a lot of these developers are ready to take that on. You know, I don't know. So we'll have to report on this maybe in another 3 or 4 weeks to see exactly how this is taken hold within the Envato community.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it shakes out. Well, let's see. 2016, I think we mentioned this a few episodes ago, but the default theme that's expected to ship with WordPress 4.4 later this year is available on GitHub and on the WordPress theme directory. So this is cool. This is sort of big news because a lot of development of WordPress items happens on Subversion and through Track. And it's not the easiest thing to grasp and to contribute to projects to using those versioning tools. However, there are a lot of developers nowadays really, you know, they use Git and they really enjoy the social collaboration tools that GitHub provides. And so far, a lot of the feedback is that a lot of developers are very happy. In fact, there's already been quite a few pull requests to the project on GitHub. Now, the theme is also available on the WordPress Theme Directory, and what that allows people to do is you can easily download it, install it, and then whenever the changes from the GitHub version are synced to the version on the Theme Directory, you'll receive an update notice, and you can update to the newest version, and that way you don't have to worry about downloading it from Git or running any types of special commands. It's really an ingenious way of staying on top of development with 2016 without really having to know a lot about the dev process. So I actually tested out 2016 on the Tavern, and you know, there's some issues. For example, the featured images that we use with our current theme don't look that great in the new theme, and that's understandable. And there's also I'm not too keen on the avatar and description showing up to the left of the post with the post meta. So there's that. But, I mean, the overall content itself and the block quotes, those look nice. But overall, it's shaping up to be pretty good. And, of course, this is still very early in the development cycle, so things will change. But I'm glad to see more WordPress projects taking place on GitHub, because that is where a lot of developers are doing all their work nowadays. So if we can get people to really chip in on the whole GitHub process, it'll be better for all of us, and especially the project.
You're not kidding. In fact, I talked to a very big developer today of a SaaS event service, and they invited me to their whole GitHub repository. So that was pretty nice to be able to just take a look and see exactly what they've got in progress. Now, of course, they know I'm on the show here and reviewing plugins and all of that, but GitHub is becoming more and more the popular destination of choice when it comes to developers. So anything that we can get to kind of convert the masses and even other developers that aren't keen on WordPress, and yes, there are a lot of those guys out there still, this is a good thing. So I applaud the GitHub usage by everybody in terms of development.
Now, the WordPress project itself does have a GitHub account. However, it does not accept pull requests. So what I think in some ways is having these official projects such as 2016 take place on GitHub is more or less an experiment. It gives them an opportunity with something that's not as big and complex as WordPress to just to see how it works, to learn from it. And depending on how it goes and maybe a couple other projects, maybe it will provide the inspiration or the motivation to start accepting pull requests to the actual WordPress project. And I know there's a lot of developers out there who would love to get involved by contributing to the core of WordPress if they could do it on GitHub. They don't want to mess around with Subversion and Track. They just want to stick with Git and GitHub. So I imagine that if the day ever comes, I think it will, where WordPress is on GitHub and is able to at least accept pull requests, which is core contributions to the project, we're going to see just a whole new world, a whole new influx of contributions from people that otherwise may not have done it.
And you might see the development cycle as far as version releases accelerate dramatically.
Or at least possibly see the number of enhancements and bug fixes go into each version, because now you've opened up the floodgates, so to speak, to a whole new section of developers just anxious to contribute to core.
I agree. So I think it's a good move with this first iteration using 2016, and we'll have to stay tuned to find out how the rest pans out.
So if anybody out there is using BuddyPress, please make sure that you've updated to 2.3.3, because it addresses a couple of different security vulnerabilities in the BuddyPress messages component. Now, a few securities were discovered by an independent researcher and also from the BuddyPress core development team. And apparently, if people could carefully craft a private message with the content, and it could be rendered incorrectly in the browser, so it could cause issues that way. But the version also fixes a couple other bugs in the 2.3 code base. So just overall, just a public service announcement. If you're running BuddyPress, please update to 2.3.3 so you can take care and patch up those security vulnerabilities. And remember, the messages component is part of core. It ships with BuddyPress, so you definitely want to update.
Yes, this is not an extra plugin. If you're using BuddyPress, you need to update.
And the WordPress Community Summit. The dates have been set for December 2nd and 3rd, which is just prior to WordCamp US in Philadelphia. And the summit is actually going to be held at a place called Impact Hub Philadelphia, which is based on the images I've seen, a nice-looking co-working space. Typically, where freelancers, entrepreneurs, and some other people can just go there and work throughout the day. And it looks like it's wide open, it's spacious, there's conference rooms, apparently a lot of different meetup groups and social gatherings take advantage of this place. And what the Community Summit is all about is the Community Summit provides a unique opportunity for people across all of the various contributing teams. So accessibility, core, themes, everything that's on the Make blogs, let's see, plugins, the directory, the WordPress support teams, the forums, all the volunteers, all of the people that are sort of contributing in various forms and fashions are able to get together in this one physical location and just sort of talk about things and flesh out some ideas and maybe even physically in the same location collaborate on things and, you know, just talk things out instead of through Skype or nowadays Slack. And it's just a really cool event. I think WordCamp San Francisco 1 year had a community summit. I don't think I went to that one. I haven't been to a community summit yet. I remember there used to be one at Tybee, Georgia, I think was the first one, and that was a big success. Now, in terms of attending the community summit, it's invite only in the sense that it's for active members and contributors on the various teams, so it's not open to the public. However, there will be an application form where you can nominate someone to go, or you can nominate yourself, and depending on how things shake out, you may receive an invitation to join this event. So don't take offense. I some people were complaining that, well, it's invitation only. There's a reason for that. You know, this is that unique opportunity for all these teams and contributors to get together. And if you invite everybody from the public, it sort of takes away that ability to focus and really just have a nice event to get things done. So looking forward to the community summit and to see some of the sort of new projects or initiatives that come out of that, you know, via discussions.
I'd love to see what some of these guys can come up with when they collaborate in person. And sometimes somebody has, you know, you and I participate in this call sometimes on Friday evenings. That's just kind of a private thing within a lot of developers within the WordPress community. And it's interesting that even just talking shop in a context that's not a podcast, what kind of ideas I get just by hearing about other people's project, just sort of in passing conversation. So I can imagine that the community summit is going to be a great catalyst for these same types of initiatives and collaborations between developers. So I encourage anybody who's got a couple extra days before WordCamp USA or US, I guess it's called, participate if you can and fill out the application. And I think that one of the main reasons why they wanted to control at least how many people are attending is because the space is somewhat limited.
Right.
So you want to just open up the door like it's some kind of after party and have people, you know, rushing the aisles. So it's a controlled environment, and obviously you want to have enough space and room in which you can both work and collaborate with others that are in the community.
Exactly. And the last story of the week, we rolled right through this week's news, which is the way I like it, is the big plugin. Remember Stream, Marcus?
Yes.
Last time we talked about Stream, we discussed how it version 2 was a huge update because it moved the storage of activity logs from the local server to the cloud.
Yes.
There's this whole big hubbub about privacy and why they were doing it and the technical advantages that allowed them to do things by storing data in the cloud. Well, Stream version 3 was released a couple of days ago, and now they are actually shutting down its cloud data storage component, and everything will be stored back on the local server again.
Just kidding.
So you have, if you are using Stream 2, you have until October 1st, which is in a month from now, to migrate your data from the cloud to the local server in Stream 3. If you do not migrate your data, it will be lost because they're going to shut it down.
Have they indicated why? Is it server overload on the part of Stream, or is it a speed issue? What's the culprit here?
Well, apparently the cloud is expensive. Usually the cloud is cheap, but in this case, it was expensive. I know Luke Carbis, who is now the new lead developer of the Stream project, noted that the move away from the cloud was largely based on cost. And also, the majority of Stream's customers ended up signing up for the free plan. So that really didn't help when you're using up server resources and you're on the cloud and you're not paying for it.
Exactly.
Apparently server costs were higher than expected. So if you combine the sort of unexpected costs with the servers and the majority of customers on the free plan, that's a recipe for disaster. At least it's not sustainable. You got to do something before, you know, it just doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah, that's a quick burn rate. Very quick. And, well, it lasted all of one version, right? So, I have discontinued my own personal use of Stream just based on the fact that I no longer really work with more than just me in terms of the website. So I don't really need a running log. There's nobody else that I'm working with that are doing site changes and things like that like I used to. But I will try it once again when it gets installed to the local server and give it another spin and see how it looks.
So XWP, which is a branch of X Team, is sort of this agency group that works on a lot of different WordPress items. Stream is actually going to be incorporated. It used to be its own thing. Well, now it's going to be under the XWP umbrella. So what this allows is for a lot more development resources to be focused on the product. And apparently it's going to help facilitate add-ons, connectors, and adapters to sort of connect Stream to, I don't know, services like Zapier. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I forgot
Zapier.
Yeah, Zapier, some of these recipe sites like if this then that. That could be kind of cool, seeing how you could implement Stream in those various fashions. But also, Stream 3 has actually been rewritten from the ground up. So apparently, activity logs use half the space in the database compared to Stream 2. It supports multi-site again, so I know quite a few people are excited about that. And the other big thing is that notifications and reports have been removed, but yet they will be working on trying to reestablish those at a later date. But, you know, in terms of the rewrite, they had to remove those temporarily. And out of all this, some of the people that are probably happiest about this change going back to storing data on the local server are those people in the EU or in Germany who have to deal with privacy implications, because one of the biggest complaints with storing this type of activity log in the cloud in certain countries, apparently that's illegal because of the various privacy laws that they have there. Well, now that you can store the data back on the local server, that's no longer an issue. So people in the EU and in Germany, you can safely use Stream again.
Nice.
So with that said, Stream is available for, it's still free. And actually, because of their partnership with XWP, it will remain free. I'm not sure if they're going to have a commercial version of it or if there's going to be services or add-ons. I could probably see some third-party modules or add-ons, you know, like the Zapier integration. That's probably going to be a commercial add-on. I wouldn't be surprised to see that.
Yeah.
But Stream has an all-new direction, has been rewritten from the ground up, and it looks like it has a future now. And congratulations to Carbis for sort of getting things straightened out, and it'll be interesting to see where Stream ends up from here.
Yes, I will give it a review on a show coming soon in terms of how it performs.
So with that said, unless Marcus, you got anything you want to cover, we could go right into the plugins of the week.
I think it's about that time, Jeff. We are first going to take a look at a very, very simple plugin. You know, Jeff, one of the things about WordPress and dealing with a number of new users in the system, it's often difficult to keep track of who's registered, who's not registered. And really the only way prior to this plugin was to go into the click users and see who's there. And it was often even difficult to see who when someone registered. This plugin is called New User Dashboard Widget. And really what it does is it just enables a dashboard widget in your WP admin that allows you to see who the latest users are. So that's exactly what it does.
Yeah, I'm looking at a screenshot. It's pretty cool. It tells you user role, username, and the registered date. So that's nice.
That's right. Yeah, so you can take a look and see exactly how long someone's been there. Next on deck here, we've got Facebook Secret Meta. This plugin enables Facebook's brand new author by. Sometimes it displays two things. It displays not only the URL where the article comes from, but it also displays the author. And when using this plugin, you can actually enter in that Facebook secret metadata. And it works with even plugins like Yoast and All-in-One SEO and all of that. This is the only plugin that I know of that takes advantage of that secret metadata. And finally, Jeff, do you remember, were you into MySpace at all?
No.
Well, MySpace, everybody who is into MySpace knows that they had one friend right when they signed up, and that was Tom. And it was sort of automatic.
I remember that.
automatic friend, right? Well, this plugin is called BuddyPress Automatic Friends. And what it does is automatically creates and accepts on the user end friendships that you specify for all new user registration within BuddyPress. So if you would like to automatically, as the administrator, be the friend of everyone who signs up, then this is the plugin for you. And it also allows you to do multiple people. So it's not just one friend. Maybe you want them to befriend the moderator or an assistant or something like that. This is a great way in which to do it. It's called BuddyPress Automatic Friends. And those are my plugin picks of the week.
Awesome. I can finally be just like Tom on MySpace and be popular just as long as my BuddyPress site is popular.
Yeah. Just get in front of a whiteboard, put a white t-shirt on, have your wife take a snapshot of you, and use that for your avatar.
If a wife take my snapshot, man, I got a selfie stick.
Okay. Well, I didn't know how down into the rabbit hole you've become.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. Next Wednesday, we have a gentleman on who will be giving us some information about logos, logo design, the importance of logos, having that brand. We can talk about some branding and ask him how expensive it is to create a good logo. And that's a WordCamp Orange County joke. And he actually did a slide on that. I thought it was pretty funny. I think he'll get it. And he'll be joining us on the show next Wednesday evening. And then the week after that, Marcus, we're on vacation. I'm on vacation, but okay. Sort of you get the side benefit of having a day off, and then we'll be back at it near the end of the month.
Excellent. Looking forward to that.
With some more guests. So you can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on WPTavern.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at JeffRothers, J-E-F-F-R-0, and you, Marcus.
You can find me at my website, MarcusCouch.com, and on Twitter, at MarcusCouch.
All right, so that wraps it up. Everybody enjoy the rest of the week. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you again next Wednesday night.